trail I track, every path I make, every road leads back to the place I know where I cannot go, where I'm wrong to be. See the line where the sky meets the sea, it calls me, and no one knows how far it goes. If the wind in my sail on the sea stays behind me, one day I'll know. If I go, there's just no telling how far.
This is Fargo.
This is Josiah.
Miles.
This is Launch.
And listeners, first of all, sorry for the technical difficulties this happened that happened last week with the podcast. Didn't get posted until Thursday, actually Thursday night. Had some problems trying to get it uploaded, and finally worked last night, so hopefully this one is posted on Monday. Let's start this off with the fact that Red Dead Redemption was, they finally showed off gameplay.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I was already excited from the moment they said they were making Red Dead Redemption. I would have given them money without ever seeing a
thing. It was pre-ordered as soon as I could, but...
Yeah, but it was nice to see gameplay. It was nice to see how it's going to work. It's very obviously very similar to the first one, but with a lot of nice little additions, like being able to have bar fights and full fighting mechanics in there. It's definitely pretty.
Oh, yeah. I was seeing the scenery off in the background. I'm like, how fucking big is this game?
Yeah. The first Red Dead Redemption was massive time. So I don't know if this one will be much bigger, but it'll definitely be a lot prettier. that's hard to
do. I don't know. It looks more massive, but it could just be, you know, you have more mountain ranges and stuff like that, you know, so there's more downward angles.
It really wouldn't surprise me given how big Grand Theft Auto was, though. I mean... Grand Theft Auto 5 was huge.
True.
So, yeah, you might be right. It might be just fucking massive. We include the entirety of Colorado and Wyoming.
That's what it fucking looks like.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, what did you guys come away from it with? Like, are you excited for anything specific that you saw, or...
Well, I mean, we talked about this earlier today. I'm looking forward to the dueling coming back so I can shoot people in the balls.
Yeah. Think they'll give you an achievement for it now?
I hope so.
I think, was there an achievement for the last one? I can't remember.
For shooting somebody in the balls?
Yeah.
No, there wasn't. If I remember correctly, there's an achievement for winning a duel with only using one bullet. I could be wrong. It's been a long time since I played that game, but...
Fair enough.
The fist fights, the new fist fight system looks like a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
So.
Looks awesome.
I'm looking forward to going and starting a bunch of bar fights.
Throw a guy at the window.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the next gameplay video since they kind of teased at the end of it. Like, in the next video, we'll show you activities and this, that, and the other. I'm like, where is it?
Missions. I actually don't want to see that at all.
I do just because I want to know the multiplayer aspect. Like, mm-hmm. I I could play this game solo and be perfectly fine, but if I can fucking join up with you guys and fuck up a bunch of shit, all the fucking better.
I guarantee you'll be able to form your own posse.
Plus, the question, will it be more than four people?
And here's the real question. No. How many people are going to come and go fishing with me?
I'll do it.
Why not? We'll fucking put on some music and sit down and chill.
If Red Dead Redemption is any kind of indicator, Josiah, you're going to need somebody keeping bears and mountain lions off of you while you fish.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they learned a lot from Grand Theft Auto V's online and with Grand Theft Auto Online. So
I hope they fixed the thing in the first one where you could shoot your own horse in the head.
Yeah.
On accident. Because I can't tell you how many times I accidentally killed my own horse trying to shoot. Yeah.
I never did it on accident.
I once did
it on at full sprint on purpose because I wanted to see what happened.
Well, what happened?
You just fly forward. It's very entertaining. imagine if while you were driving at, you know, full speed, you just threw it, you know, spikes out in front of your car. It's kind of like that.
Interesting. No, I was trying to kill a mountain lion one time, and I accidentally shot my horse in the head. Still killed the mountain lion, though, so at least there was that. But I had to walk back to whatever town I was near.
I had a lot of horses eaten by mountain lions.
And you guys weren't playing the game right.
Dude, when they said... your horse will react to how you treat it. I'm like, oh, fuck. I was like, my horses are going to fucking hate me. I was just breaking a new one every few hundred miles.
I never lost a horse to wildlife. I lost my own life to bears.
The most disappointing one was watching my horse get eaten by a bear. So I was out in the middle of the fucking woods. I was like, ah, this sucks.
Yeah, I did, like, you know, obviously I've been sold in the game. I don't think I want to see anything from the missions portion of it. So, like, hopefully I'll be able to see just, like, a breakout of, like, some of the stuff they showed off without getting anything story-wise.
As far as I'm aware, it's supposed to just be activities and, you know, delving further into what you can do in the game.
That's what it seems like. Yeah.
I don't know.
That game's going to be phenomenal.
We'll see.
It'll probably break records. I can see it breaking Grand Theft Auto's record for opening day. Easily.
I don't know. Grand Theft Auto has a completely different crowd.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say,
it's, and Red Dead never even hit the numbers that a Grand Theft Auto game in the past has ever had.
Very different fan
base. We're only basing that one game off of five other ones.
But what I'm saying is that if the first one didn't sell as many as any of the Grand Theft Autos, then what's the likelihood of the second one doing as well? Like Rockstar has even stated themselves personally, like, they have no expectations of the game even performing as well, coming close to performing as well as Grand Theft Auto 4 even.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I see it blowing numbers away, so.
Red Dead's more of a niche game than Grand Theft Auto is.
Yeah. You know, do you want to be a badass in the Old West? Yes. Most of Americans will say this. Most of the other world's just like, fuck it. It's not my country. It's not my history.
So. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, you know, most of the U.S. doesn't play FIFA versus Madden or anything like that. So. Mm. Anyways, on top of that, new gameplay was shown off of Doom Eternal. And that game looks fucking awesome. I really need to get back to my backlog and finish up the first one. that was awesome looking. They showed off the biggest goddamn gun I've seen in a long time, and I really want to take it in the game. I'm hoping I can use it.
So. BFG 10,000.
thing is like a planet killer.
Legitimately hoping I can ride the top of it.
Yeah!
Like Dr. Strangelove.
I just want a big chair with a joystick and a button on it.
Ride on the new kid.
Right.
Little do you know, you actually transform into the gun.
That would be amazing too.
Yeah, I'd be alright with that.
From the gameplay that they showed off, there's a lot of they made a lot of changes, just even design wise, to the game to make it look a little more similar to what we've been used to in previous Dooms, specifically 1 and 2. They've added some color to certain creatures. They've made the imps, you know, a little more closer resemblance to the originals by putting the horns on their backs and stuff like that.
The Kako demons were all big and red again.
Demons were all big and red. They added the original plasma rifle. Looks a lot like the old one, and they've made some interesting choices. They brought back the crossbow that shot the energy blast, which was badass. Trying to think of what else they showed off. They showed off a really crazy-ass looking Hell Knight that had blades on his arms and smashed the ground and caused, you know, fire to fly, to go out and constantly attack you. Fucking huge looking.
One of the things I really liked was you got... I mean, they had this in the first one as well, but it seems like they've really, you know, gone farther with it. Of the more damage you do to your target, there's, like, visual representations on it. Like, with that Hell Knight...
Yeah.
The more he was shooting it in the chest with a shotgun, it was, you know, blowing the skin off.
Chunks were coming off of it, and you could see the holes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot cooler, just aesthetic for you know, showing you the damage that you're doing to these things. And one of the other things that I liked was from the gameplay, they showed a side dash that looks fucking helpful as hell.
And the grappling hook that they attached to the super shotgun.
Yep. That was awesome. And the flamethrower that came out of nowhere. That was awesome, too.
The one weapon that I complained wasn't in the game.
And one of the final things they showed off that Josiah and I are really excited for is you get a sword in it at some point. I'm sure it's going to be one of those later weapons, but it was awesome looking. So didn't get to see what it'll do, but I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun.
And the forearm blade.
The forearm blade was awesome.
For the glory kills, that was really good.
The predator blade.
The only thing I didn't like about the gameplay footage we watched was the guy who was playing didn't use the glory kills too much, and I don't know if that was, you know, a developer call of, hey, we don't want to show off all the new glory kills before the game is out, or if they were just like, here, just go blow shit up and make it gory.
I think part of it is the first one, and two is... probably the glory kills do get repetitive. And if you use them all the time, they don't change up a whole lot. Even in the first one, that was true.
Well, depending on some of the power-ups you can get doing the side stuff, if you... there was one of them that if you glory kill, you get more health and ammo.
Yeah.
So I was
but
constantly...
the glory kill animation didn't change.
No, but it was more of a ammunition... conservation, and yeah, you could use your enemies as health packs at that point too.
I get that, but what I'm saying is I think it was more of just they didn't want to show things that were just repetitive the entire time.
Right.
And they wanted to show off more of the environment, they wanted to show off more, you know, more of the creatures that you're gonna be taking on. And it looks like it's a huge step up with what they had for the first one, and this is even an even bigger one. The environments are even larger. They have a new thing that I'm not excited for, and I'll probably turn off personally, and that is people can invade your game as demons and fight you. And people can, you know, team up and take you on, and what was it, Slayer Hunters?
I forget what it was.
Slayer Hunt or Hunter Party?
It seems like it could be interesting for other people, but I don't play Doom to play with other... I feel like I say this a lot. I didn't buy this game to play with other people.
Yeah.
And this is another one of those, I don't play Doom to play against other people.
Yeah, I don't need...
You
Doom
said
to
that with Pong,
to
too.
Yeah, that's because the computer was tough enough. I don't need a human opponent.
Just bounce the ball off the wall, you're fine. Just like ping pong. Just put one table up and you're good to go. It looked kind of cheesy to me. I don't like the when it says, you know, invasion or whatever. I sat there, I was like, really? You know, you're going to turn into, like, a section of the game into a deathmatch? To me, that's just kind of lame. I don't need it to suddenly turn into a multiplayer game. I just want to continue going through the story. But there are going to be other players out there that it's going to appeal to.
It's kind of like Dying Light when somebody could jump in and be the special infected or whatever.
Yeah.
And hunt you down.
Fuck you.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to turn that off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to be fucking griefed.
It was the same thing with, like, Watch Dogs. I remember playing Watch Dogs and having that turned on for a brief moment. And then the first guy who invaded my game found me and shot me in the head. Didn't even do the game that you, like, on Watch Dogs, like, their objective is to try and prevent you from finishing your objective or to steal the information that you've taken. Yeah. And instead, the guy just came in and shot me and walked away. I was like, fuck you, seriously? This is a dumb game type, so I didn't turn it off.
I feel like the invading players, I feel like that's going to fuck up the flow of my murder. I'm going to have to work harder for those ones, and I don't necessarily want that. The other thing I really liked about the gameplay was we actually get to see a human reaction to the Doomslayer when he was walking through that facility. That was good. I really enjoyed that.
No one's going to stop you.
My favorite part was when he needed a key card to get through a door, so instead of taking it off the guy's neck, he just grabs it and pulls him over to the console.
That's great. Oh, man. Yeah, listeners, if you haven't gotten a chance to take a look at it, we highly recommend go online and take a look at the presentation. The total gameplay is probably about 12, 13 minutes.
Yeah, because what was it? The video you put on was, I think, 28, 29 minutes, and there's about 12 minutes of combined gameplay.
Yeah. So
the last thing I'll say about this was the mouse and keyboard gameplay looked so smooth.
Yeah.
And speaking of Bethesda, the plan so far, apparently, we found out, is the beta that's to be coming out is actually going to be the entire game, and your progress is supposed to be saved and transfer over to the full release.
So it's really just a demo.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, I mean, regardless, you typically don't get anything for that unless it's like a skin or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a long time since we've seen a game where you actually keep whatever progress you make.
Octopath does it, too.
Yeah. So it's surprising, and it's completely unfair to people that don't have it, but we have it, so nanny nanny boo boo.
Yeah, it's a nice reward for those who went ahead and pre-ordered, and I think that's kind of what Bethesda's plan was of, yeah, it's kind of senseless to have you know, if we're going to give you a beta or demo that's going to let you play from the beginning of the game, it's kind of pointless for us to make you play through that all over again just to play the regular game that you've already technically started.
Right.
So it's nice for them to do that.
I have a feeling, too, it's one of those games that they know they're not going to have the same size of player base as they did with, like, Fallout 4.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, like, the people that pre-ordered the game are pretty much the people that are going to be playing.
Yeah,
but, like,
definitely.
You're not going to have a whole lot of people that just pick up the game just because. You know?
I think you're absolutely right about that. And the weirdest thing, though, is they made this announcement, but they still haven't given a date.
No, I was expecting it, but nothing.
Yeah. Just, nope, we're not going to give a date. Sweet. Well, speaking of demos/betas, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 has been getting, they've had their one day of gameplay, and in one day they got a shit ton of feedback from fans who were upset about the game, how things were working, had a lot of frame rate issues. And within one day, they came back and they had a laundry list posted on their forums saying, these are all the things that we've heard, these are the things we're fixing in the next, you know, within the next day. And here is another list of things that we fixed already. So it's cool to see the developers hearing their multiplayer crowd, they're hearing the people who are playing it, and they're actually making fixes now. That's very rare to see happen during a beta. Usually all we hear is, okay, you know, we'll look into that, and nothing happens, Bungie.
Yeah.
So
here's the game.
Yeah, here's the game. It's the same fucking game it was. And the developers constantly, you know, they constantly tried to do the reminder of, you know, this is just a beta. In some cases, one of them called it a demo, which is really what it is, because the game's almost getting ready, you know, almost to launch at this point. The other thing I want to bring up is that Activision is well aware that the game is not being pre-ordered very well right now. And some of that has to do with the fact that there's no single player. And amazingly enough, there are a lot of multiplayer gamers who are multiplayer gamers only who are supporting the single player crowd by not getting the game. When you look at like the original games where they launch and they have the single player campaign, you're seeing the $60 value there because you have a single player campaign on top of the multiplayer. The multiplayer is fairly robust for a game that has a single player campaign. This game's coming out and it's only multiplayer, and the most robustness it has is going to be currently what they're calling a super secret mode that they haven't shown off yet. It's got roughly the same amount of maps, but it's got the Battle Royale mode. And that, to me alone, doesn't really make up for the fact that you don't have a single player story or campaign. And right. A lot of multiplayer gamers out there that I've spoken with have said the same thing of, because they don't see the single player, they don't see how there's any additional value being put into the multiplayer. And that kind of bugs them on the fact that they're still asking $60 for a game that they're not seeing a huge robustness being thrown into the multiplayer versus.
Especially when you're going to have DLC that's going to add more money to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're really pushing it.
So,
yeah, I guess I think it would be one thing if all your DLC was going to be included with the game.
Absolutely.
Right. But the fact that I can tell you right now, they're not going to.
No, there's
going to be. It's going to be, what, $24 a DLC map or 14?
I think the full edition with the season pass is $100.
Right? Yeah, I would tell them to go fuck themselves.
So, there are a lot of multiplayer only gamers that I've spoken with for the Call of Duty crowd that have said that they refuse to buy it because it doesn't have a single player and they're not seeing the value in the multiplayer right now.
That's just a fucking joke.
Whether or not they're wrong, I don't know. But I do see what their point is, and obviously we're not buying it because we're not huge fans of the multiplayer only, and since there's no single player campaign, there's no point. So best of luck to the ones who do buy it, and hopefully it is a good game, hopefully it's worth the money, and hopefully Activision and Treyarch are listening to their gamers and truly trying to make it the best experience for them. And whether or not the other gamers who are holding out, whether they get it or not, we'll have to wait and see. But right now their pre-orders are pretty low for any kind of Call of Duty right now. They've had it's one of the lowest pre-ordered games they've launched in the series, which says a lot. So on top of that, they also never made any announcement to bring out Modern Warfare 2 or, you know, Modern Warfare 2 as a tag, you know, as an add-on, which I think would have helped them if they had. So we'll see what happens with the game. Hopefully this doesn't, you know, hopefully this doesn't hurt the developer. I don't want this to, like, I don't care what it does to Activision because, you know, it's Activision. They're the publisher. But a lot of publishers, even Activision, tend to take out anything that goes wrong or doesn't do well for a game on the developer, regardless of if the upper echelon of management, which comes from Activision, told them to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just don't want to see Treyarch get the butt end of the joke on this one when it's really Activision's fault for telling them to stop development on a single player and move over to nothing but multiplayer only and forcing the team to be scrambling to add more multiplayer content. On top of that, they had to bring in Raven, who was another developer for Activision, just to do the Battle Royale section.
Yeah, but on one hand, it's Call of Duty, and it's one of those franchises that could end, and I wouldn't ever fucking shed a tear. It won't happen, but, you know, just saying. We've had plenty.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Speaking of series that may end, that we thought was going to end, at least, Mass Effect is still going to get content, but it's going to be in the form of a new game, not DLC, obviously, because they canceled all DLC for Andromeda, which originally the DLC for Andromeda was supposed to explain what happened to the Quarian ship, what happened to, or it was supposed to kind of continue more of the story. And after the shit show that Andromeda became, they decided to completely cancel all that and focus on getting their teams over to Anthem, obviously.
Right.
They have said that they are going to be making another Mass Effect game. Whether or not that's going to be given to the right team, first of all, if they hand it over to another team that was only solely responsible for making multiplayer originally, I'm going to sit there and go, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But EA has said that they have not forced all of BioWare to give up and go over to Anthem, even though that's very evident what's happened. But they do, you know, aside from the team that was already working on the next Dragon Age, which I think is a pretty small team, and they're kind of waiting to see what happens with Anthem to see if they're going to get more people to help them with with Dragon Age. But the other thing that has come up is some of the former employees with BioWare have said that, you know, even if Anthem doesn't do well, EA is not putting all their eggs in one basket with Anthem. They have told, they had multiple meetings with the BioWare management to tell them that they want them to focus on other franchises that they still have, you know, investment in, which would be Mass Effect and Dragon Age. You know, things that they know will make money. And if Anthem doesn't do well, it's not going to cause BioWare to completely crumble. I do have to say there's probably a little bit of a fudging there of, no, it will not cause BioWare to be closed down by EA by any means, but it will cause them to lose a lot of employees if Anthem doesn't do well.
Right.
Because that will most definitely have to cause them to cut half their studio down and move back to their old projects that actually made them money. The upside to that is, if Anthem doesn't do well, and I'm hoping that it does, I'm hoping Anthem is a good game, I'm hoping it's not going to be another Destiny, or in the way that I'm hoping that there's actually good gameplay, fun content, and it'll constantly bring me back, and I won't feel ripped off when they have new content. Which, given the fact that their forward-moving content is supposed to be free, I don't think I'll feel ripped off. But if it doesn't do well, they're going to have to say, okay, well, it's not Anthem. We're going to have to go back, and hopefully that'll get EA to kind of wake up and go, you know what? We should let you guys dictate what you're going to do and stop putting our own fingers in the pie and ruining everything first. Maybe it'll happen. We'll see. Maybe EA will, maybe EA will learn a lesson. Maybe EA learned a lesson from the last Mass Effect Andromeda. You shouldn't make too many fucking adjustments to a company that you own, but I doubt it.
Don't put your B squad in charge of a new game.
Yeah, but the thing that I doubt is I doubt it because of how they treated Visceral. So who knows?
Yeah,
that company is a cesspool of scum and villainy.
So should I just, you know, save myself some time and $60 and go home and smash my balls with a hammer now, or I feel like that'll hurt less than another trip through Andromeda.
Yeah, that's the real question. Where the fuck do you go? Do you go back to writer, or do you just try to do another protagonist?
I think that they could easily. I think they could easily fix Andromeda. By acknowledge, you know, keep the story, acknowledge Andromeda and everything like that, even with all of its faults, and just have Ryder become a, like a commanding officer that you run into or report to in the game, and not the main character anymore.
Right.
Move over to somebody else, and I mean, I'd be okay with if they moved over and had it focus on a new race that they come across, or even, fuck, make us a Corian. Maybe that's how you pick it up. You pick it up with a Corian mothership and where that is and make us a Corian. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, a Corian commando.
Yeah, that'd be kind of neat. So I say try and take it a different direction by going to a new protagonist and letting us have a different kind of side of things, a different kind of adventure, rather than trying to completely fix the Ryder storyline, because Ryder was not a great character and was not well written. No. So it's hard to make that connection and want to have that continuation there. That's just me. I mean, I don't know what you guys think.
Especially
about
since as Ryder, nobody respected your opinion in the game whatsoever.
Everyone ignored it. And you, Like, I always wanted Ryder to fucking stand there in the middle of those fucking meetings and be like, shut the fuck up. Who's the commanding officer here? Me. Everyone right. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. What was that?
Jettison somebody out in airlock.
Right?
When I was playing, it took me 3/4 of the way into the game to actually like my character, and that's just because when you were talking with, I forget who the bad guy was, and then you basically stand up and then say, no, fuck you, and then leave.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, cool. You made me actually care now.
That was the one moment, though, the one shiny moment, but I still wanted her to do it to the fucking crow.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Miles, I would have liked to have seen at some point give the option of throwing a crew member that was pissing you off into a escape pod and jettison them out with a disabled escape pod and say, hey, and the only thing that they have is a fucking speaker, and you go, hey, are you going to shut the fuck up and listen to me now, or are we going to continue to have problems? Because I'm okay with just leaving you out there and going and doing what I need to do. You know, being like Shepard. Where you could slap the shit out of him.
Yeah, main character with spine.
People respect your authority.
Yeah.
I would like to see one where you get to make your own character.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, like, you have to be on a crew. I kind of want a more open-world Mass Effect, because they've given us this big universe to go play in, and we only ever get to go, like, in this little corner. Especially with Andromeda, because they took you away from all the established shit, and they're like, here, go explore this.
Yeah.
I'd like to, you know, play a, I don't know, Quarian runaway on the, you know, living in the slums on the Citadel, or...
So you want to see like more of a branching capability, much like Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Where you have, it's still relatively a linear story, but you're getting other aspects of other characters and other cultures before things start coming together into the linear path.
Yeah, I would very much like to see something like that.
That'd be kind of neat. I wouldn't mind seeing that. So, we'll see what happens with BioWare after Anthem. Anthem comes out in February, so. They still haven't dropped any of the demo stuff. They're supposed to have at least one or two drop for other people to play. We'll see what happens with that. I don't know if they're going to be considering those demos or betas or what. But in other news, PlayStation has shown off that they are having a special PlayStation that they're coming out with. It's to celebrate the 500 million consoles they've sold. And that is not 500 million PlayStation 4s. If that would be an amazing feat. Because that would trounce the PS2. But it is 500 million consoles sold total out of all the systems that they've created. And they are coming out with a limited edition 50,000 of PlayStation Pros that are blue with a little bit of see-through plastic tech. And you can see, you know, things inside and stuff like that in the controller. And it looks like it also comes with a PlayStation Eye as well. It's a 2 terabyte system, costs $500, and they are all numbered. Would like to have it, but it won't happen. It'll be much like the PlayStation Anniversary Edition, the gray one that came out and nobody could get.
Right.
But you're getting the Spider-Man one.
But I am getting the Spider-Man one. Thank you. Yeah. I'm able to get the Spider-Man one for $3.58. Listeners, I should preface this with, I am trading shit in for this. I didn't make a black market deal or, you know, sell a kidney or anything like that. I'm just able to trade in enough stuff to bring the price way, way down, and that's what I'm paying. So, anyways, on top, well, in addition, I did buy a new hard drive for it, so I could have the same size and speed hard drive that I have in my current PS4 Pro. That's because I'm not trading in my current PS4 Pro. That one's going to go upstairs in my room, and when I have sick days or, you know, have to lay up in bed, I have something to play. Anywho, what else has been going on? You guys want to talk about?
Well, we went and watched Meg.
Yes, we did.
The Meg.
They can call it Tahi Meg as much as they want. It's still just Meg. yeah, I think that was just a misspelling. They meant Tee Meg. Like a little laugh before they say it.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was not good.
but it was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
Definitely didn't bother to try to really follow the books at all.
It was a lot of fun, and you know, we got to see a giant shark eat people, and
although I wish
eat
it was
other
more.
Sharks.
I wish, yeah, and
I wish it was gorier.
I stand with Loach on that. I wish it was a little gorier. I wish it had gone for the R rating, but it's PG-13, so it gets more people in the audience, and I can't fault them for that.
But aside from like throwing just random people at the shark, there's not really a whole lot of opportunities for much more gore, in my opinion, from what we saw.
From what they were saying.
But that doesn't mean that they didn't cut out some scenes that they did have.
They yeah. Jason Statham came out and said that they cut out quite a few scenes.
I believe that there's probably an entire scene where at the beach it was just, you know, going wonka 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 across the water, just eating up as many people as possible.
Yeah, by the way, Brian, during that scene, I noticed you looked over at me because I was laughing hysterically. That was happening in my head while I was laughing.
Pretty sure I knew
what
it was. Yeah. And then when he popped the guy in the ball.
Dude, I imagine that thing exploded and threw that guy into its mouth like a zip.
But when he ate that guy, it made the noise that that Pac-Man makes when he dies.
Yeah, it was just a lot of fun. I mean, it was, listeners, if you've read the books are not Shakespeare by any means.
No.
So going in and going, it wasn't like the book.
Gotten through the last one.
It wasn't like the book. Well, that's probably a blessing. it was still a lot of fun. It was nothing like the book in reality. I mean, it had the names of the main characters, and it had two Meg sharks, and that was it. But it's still really fun, still a lot of fun. Had a lot of moments that were very awkward moments to put in some emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, actively made you want to laugh. Like, why is this happening right now? Amazingly, they made Jonas's wife likable in the movie, because in the book she was a complete cunt.
Yeah.
I was actually amazed by that. Same with Heller. Heller ended up becoming like a kind of a good person. So yeah, listeners, these aren't really spoilers. I mean, you'll go see the movie and be like, alright, I know what's gonna happen. 5 minutes in, you'll know what's gonna happen.
I'm still pretty happy. I made a prediction within 5 minutes of the movie starting and it came true.
What's that?
Jason Statham stabbed the shark.
a couple times.
I mean I made a joke to Brian. We were sitting there and he was putting on the scuba suit, and I was like, I can't wait for him to swim out and knife fight the shark.
In the original book, Miles, you'll have to remind me, in the original book, the first one, didn't Jonas get swallowed by the fucking thing and have to stab it in the heart?
I don't remember if that was the first one or
the
second
one. Yeah, that's the thing. I can't remember.
There's something like that though.
It's swallowed, like, there's a moment where he gets swallowed on the inside, and it just carves into the side, into the shark until he gets the
heart,
because
it swallows, him
and,
the mini sub or whatever that he's in.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. I was kind of expecting that to happen, actually.
I hope they make a sequel and put that in.
It didn't end in a way, though, that it would promote a sequel. Like, I was hoping it would.
I think their plan is safe.
Well, the sequel could easily just be the Meg gave birth.
I kept expecting that, actually, throughout the entire movie.
Well, the first book doesn't really talk about it.
No, but they put in stuff that happens in like the second and third book into this movie, so...
Yeah, I think that's true. I think they did just more to play it safe.
Still a fun ride, and I think you're right, they were trying to play it safe and make sure, well, if it doesn't do well, then people aren't sitting there going, what the fuck, why is there a sequel?
It's when they did the little shark feast scenes after the bombing, I was like, oh, this is the pregnant one. I was like, these are all its offspring, you know, cannibalizing its mother. They're like, oh, no, those are just normal sharks. All right.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if they're going to make a sequel. I hope the sequel is just the next Fast and the Furious movie with The Rock and Jason Statham teaming up, taking on the shark.
Wait, so is The Rock playing the Meg?
No, but it will see him as one of its progeny.
So, another movie I got to see today with Josiah was Slenderman.
So, let me put it this way. I'd have rather gone back to see the Meg.
Absolutely.
That would have been a much better use of
absolutely
my time.
Absolutely would have gone to see
Meg. I don't know why you two decided to go see it. When we all saw the trailer, everybody was like, oh, it looks like trash.
I like horror movies, and I wanted to have something else to talk about on the podcast. Now, I'm going to assume everyone everyone in the room is okay with me doing spoilers.
Well,
yeah, I mean, but Slenderman's not exactly a new concept by any means.
Sweet.
Not even in the movie industry.
Listeners, if you don't want to hear this, have a good night. Here's the thing. I strongly suggest you do because it is bad.
Spoil that for them so we will save everybody 2 hours of their life.
Yeah. This movie is bad, and it's not only just bad, it's boring and not entertaining, which is the biggest problem. It starts out with, I mean, just how it starts out with the dialogue for the main actress, like the main actresses, and whoever wrote this thinks that teenagers in high school talk, because all I can imagine is either they're way too old and they really don't know, or they're 13 and they still don't know because they're not in high school. So the dialogue is bad at the beginning. I literally sat there like at the very beginning of the movie when they have all four actresses in the hallway, and I can't remember what they were saying, but I literally put my hands up like, fucking nobody talks like this. Like, not even high schoolers can talk like this. Like, unless the generation gap is so bad and they are so stupid that they can't form coherent conversations.
Which, let's face it, is...
It's a possibility.
Legitimate possibility.
But it was just awful. Moving on to how the actual story evolves. They start out with this whole BS of, like, how to summon the Slenderman. And it's done through a video. So, The Ring, for one. And two, my first question out of my mouth was to Josiah, and I said, how did they summon him before there was no video? Yeah, they don't fully explain that, because my understanding was with Slenderman was the whole lore behind it originally was if you saw him, that was when you started getting haunted by him. If you glimpsed him at any point, that was it. And that included in photos, because that's why they had that whole photo contest on the original website where it was posted, where the myth and everything was posted, where they had people who were photoshopping images of him in. That's where all the images came from originally.
There was a game.
This is way older than the game itself. This is probably...
That's right. I remember Shayna sitting down to play it, and she runs straight towards the guy.
Maybe that guy wants to play.
Me. He's wearing a suit. He must want to help me.
Yeah. People who wear suits are smart. Before it was ever a game, it was originally a website posting. They had created the myth and legend of Slenderman. Not a real thing. It was just invented. You know, kind of a joke contest where people were, you know, photoshopping him, you know, the Slenderman into photos. And they actually used some of that stuff in the movie.
That was probably the only part of the movie that I actually liked, is because I remember when all this stuff was popping up online and,
yeah,
you know, seeing a lot of, like, the original photoshopped pictures and, you know, the fan art and everything. It was really cool seeing some of that stuff because, you know, I remember sitting there, oh, yeah, that picture was really cool, because they did one of the pictures where it was, like, real subtle in the background.
Yeah.
So I thought that one was kind of cool.
So it was kind of neat to have this whole mythos that had been created and have it turn into a movie. The downside is the movie seems like an entire exercise and missed opportunity. For one, they rarely used Slenderman in the background of images or of scenes, which he could have easily been slipped in. And kind of, you know, the movie should have been an entire movie of Where's Waldo, of Slenderman in the background, like where the fuck is he?
Especially in the last half of the movie when he was supposedly stalking the last two characters that were alive.
Yeah, and he's rarely there, so. I think they were trying to build tension. They failed on that. It just became boring and monotonous.
The pacing was also really weird. Like, there was a couple of points where I thought the movie was going to end, and then it just kept going.
Yeah. There's this whole video they watch. They end up becoming, you know, that's when it starts. One of their friends becomes obsessed with it and starts looking at more and more and more, and then eventually gets taken and disappears, and that's all you see. You don't see how she gets taken. There's no freaky moment where she gets taken. It's just she's gone. After losing their friend, the same day, it's been 3 hours since she's been gone, and the message on their phone is, "I miss her so much." And I go, "She's been," like, I couldn't hold it in. I went, "She's been gone for less than a day." I'd be like Loach leaving my house after the podcast. I miss him so much.
He's been gone for so long.
Awake at night.
he went home.
Yeah, Brian, don't worry. I'll call you in about 3 hours to let you know how much I miss.
Please don't.
It was so bad.
I liked the part where the guy breaks into their house to ask where his daughter is.
Right?
And they're all like... That's so weird. But then get this. So they... Like, he breaks in and he starts asking the main character, "Oh, where's my daughter? I miss her so much." And all this other shit. And then they go and break into his house the next night.
Yeah. This is what you get. We're gonna break back in.
Then the other one that made me laugh was when she went over to the guy's house for a date. And, "You have such cool stuff." "No, his dad has cool stuff."
Yeah, she's like, "I didn't realize you were such an audio geek." I'm like, "No, his family are audio geeks. That's why all the albums are theirs in the middle of the living room, not in his bedroom,
right.
You dumb bitch."
And then that scene where they were making out was, like, really uncomfortable. Like, it went on a little bit. It went on a little bit too long.
Rude.
Not only that, but it started really abruptly. There was no conversation. They sat on the couch, and she kind of nuzzles into him, and then suddenly they're making out. I'm like, you've known this guy for a while and had a crush on him. I get that, but you've been there for 2 minutes. He just put a record on, and now it's Makeout Central. I'm like, I remember high school. It didn't move that fast.
Well, you're doing it wrong, man.
Apparently.
I was going to say, apparently, I just wasn't that good-looking, because I remember, like...
That good-looking.
Not being that successful, I guess. I don't know. But, it was getting awkward watching, because it was, like, you could tell the director was just like, "All right, now, keep making out. Just keep going. We're just going to keep rolling. Keep going.
Do it. Do some more.
Keep going.
Do it slowly.
And cut."
This movie's...
You know,
we've
gone long enough. He's hard.
This movie's going in a completely wrong direction.
You know what?
That'd probably be better.
I was going to say, they probably could have put a porn scene in that movie, and then it would have been entertaining for me.
Moving ahead, when eventually they start having... They decide that they're going to try and get their friend back, so they have to sacrifice something they love. To get her back to Slenderman, and the main character, or one of the main characters, says you have to blindfold yourself and you can't look up at Slenderman. If you see him, you'll go insane, blah, 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 blah. One of the girls obviously, you know, pulls the blindfold off because she hears stuff around her.
Almost immediately.
Yeah. Regardless of the fact that the character says, no matter what happens, don't take the blindfold off, she still does it. Which was just like, you're sitting there, like... It made me really disappointed in people, like, just human beings. Like, seriously? Like, you can't even follow simple fucking instructions?
Yeah, like, you're supposed to feel sympathetic towards the main characters, and I didn't care.
Yeah, I just wanted to see
them
die.
Just because of how stupid they were.
Yeah, I just wanted to see them die.
Yeah.
I wanted to see them, like, get caught and taken and then move on to the next guy or next group. I was hoping it was going to be they were going to die really fast and then the next group of people were going to show up and be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, like, in the beginning,
just didn't happen.
When they were talking about the group of guys that were going to do it and then they went and summoned instead, I kind of wished, like, both groups would have done it. So he came and, like, killed the group of girls and then moved on to the group of guys.
You'd have a larger body count and it'd have more scares.
Yeah.
But, no, it doesn't happen.
Or, you know, he kills the guys first and then comes over and kills the group. Like, either way, it could have been... I mean, because they even touch on that as...
Just missed opportunity.
Of when that one guy, she goes over to his house afterwards, and then, you know, he comes back the next day to school with a huge bruise on his arm. Nothing done with it.
Yeah. They didn't do anything with that, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it was so sudden, like, his encounter with Slenderman was apparently, like, so instantaneous compared to theirs. It was just stupid. The moments where he shows up, like, they gave him so many varying capabilities. It was basically, like, he was essentially just a weaker version of Freddy, which is sad. But there's specifically a moment where one of the characters is in the middle of a library, and it's a nice setting and stuff like that, and all of a sudden things start kind of going wonky, the lights start flickering, and everything goes black. I looked over at Josiah and I said, how cool would it have been if everything went black and suddenly she's in the woods? She's no longer in the library. She's just literally in the woods and completely fucked. If that had happened, the first words out of my mouth would have been, fuck you. Because that sucks. That would suck to be in that situation. That's a Freddy Krueger kind of moment where you just, you know, you pass out and suddenly you're just completely screwed. So they, you know, that's one missed opportunity. They end up having this stupid little moment where she's in the library getting chased by him. Nothing happens from it. Overall, it's just it only had like one or two cool moments and the rest of it was just shit. And even the main character, like the very main character, goes and sacrifices herself so it won't go after her sister. And she walks up, sees the Slender Man directly in its face, and says, take me.
And then
when it goes
turns
to take,
around and sprints.
Yeah, and then as soon as he's about to take her, she runs away. I was like, that's the exact opposite of what you just told him to do. Like, you just said, take me, and you're running away. Like, this makes no sense.
And I can tell you exactly why that happened, is because somebody in the writing room was like, oh, well, they never did that thing where he, like, hops up on the big legs that cut, like, the big tentacles that come out of his back and chase anybody, so she's gonna run away so he can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, then when she got pulled into the tree, all I could think was Evil Dead did it better.
Oh my god, I know, that was my first thought. I was like, is this gonna be like Evil Dead?
Yeah.
Like,
when she got, the tree rape?
Yeah, when she got pulled into the tree, I was like, Evil Dead did it better.
Oh man.
That was truly horrifying. This is not...
It was so bad.
This is slightly annoying and I wish you'd die faster.
Yeah, and then like all the shit she saw in the hospital, like when she was walking down the hall, I was like, you know, there's safety regulations that require them to put more lights in the hallway than this, because it was like every third light was on, so it looked creepy. But I'm just like, this is an active hospital; they have
to
have lights.
When that part was going on, I pretty much felt like this looks like a fan made YouTube Nightmare on Elm Street scene.
Yeah, because there was one point where they were walking past a room and there's like a chick with really long hair in the bath and
the
nurse
guy
is
has
brushing
no face.
Her hair. Yeah, neither of them have a face and they just look over and he's just like brushing her hair. It's like really loud. So there's... And I was just like, what the fuck is going on? There's like a family celebrating and they look over and the chick's face starts melting, but not in like a really scary way. It was just like, oh, you took some bad
like
acid.
I fucked up on Photoshop kind of way.
Yeah. Like, I feel like...
I used the smudge tool instead of the airbrush tool.
I feel like...
To fix some shit.
I feel like I could have done better on some of these special effects.
Yeah. Alright. It was just dumb.
So yeah, if you want a good Slender Man movie to watch...
Yeah.
On Amazon Prime, there's one called Always Watching.
Yeah.
It's straight up Slender Man, and it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Doesn't have a great... it kind of falls off towards the end, but the rest of it was pretty well done.
Yeah.
So
I mean, this...
Yeah, it's worth watching.
This was so bad that, I mean, I went into this movie with zero expectations because I don't really like horror movies, and I was still disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the same way.
Like,
I didn't have any kind of expectation of what to see.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I don't even think I would watch this one for free again.
And the other thing was, a lot of stuff from the original trailer, and I remember what you were talking about, Loach, the fact that, it, like, you know, when we all saw the original trailer, we said, no, that doesn't look good. None of that stuff was in it.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
So, I guess they had enough negative, because the original trailer showed up back in, like, 2016. And I guess they had enough negative reaction that they went back and reshot a lot of stuff.
I have no idea.
But unfortunately, it was clearly not enough. Coolest part in the whole movie was basically seeing one of the first girls to actually get taken, or not really get taken, but driven insane, was when she receives a video call on her phone and it's showing this perspective of the Slender Man as he approaches her home and literally walks through doors. And to get into her house, there's no opening of the doors at all, and just shows up and she opens up the door to her room and the camera's looking directly down at her on her phone, and she sees nothing there, and then he's quickly behind her in the camera video, and then she turns around and there's nothing there again, and
Yeah, just that was
freaking out. I was like, that was really well done.
That was the only part of the movie that was really cool. There was another scene that actually kind of made me laugh. It was at the very end when they were trying to sneak into the guy's house.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the door is unlocked because they just go straight through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy's got all of his windows open, so all the... Wow, I'm totally having a brain fart. But it was blowing everything in the wind so it could look creepy. And I'm just like, "Who? What asshole leaves all this shit open in the middle of the night?" Like, what kind of town do you live in that you can still do that?
Yeah.
The one part I did like was when the first character goes missing and they're just like, "Oh my god, she's missing." And then the one girl's like, "She has an alcoholic father and talks about running away all the time."
Yeah. Why would she leave? I don't know.
I mean, you're in high school. That's bad enough. You have an alcoholic father. And then she was obviously the weird kid because she was talking about, like, demons and shit at the very beginning of the movie. That's why I never sneeze. I want to keep them all in.
Yeah.
Okay, crazy.
When she said that, I was like, well, she'd probably fit in well with our group.
Yeah. But, you know, they acted like everything was locked up before they went in. And then they just walk in through the front door.
They had a few conversations online with an IM chat with a person that knew all these things about Slender Man. And they eventually look her up and she's in an insane asylum or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's it. They don't do anything with her. They don't go, like, they don't do the usual, like, horror thing where they go and visit the person to go and talk to him directly. That's it. They just, you know, oh my gosh, she was in an insane asylum the whole time.
Yes. And it was
oh my god, it
was a really stupid payoff because they ask her to help.
Yeah.
And then she deletes her account in the middle of the conversation. And then at the very end of the movie, they look up her file and they're like, oh, she was in a mental institution, but she mysteriously died like yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, was that in the middle of the conversation? Did she delete her account and then die? Did Slender Man delete her account? How does he know anything technology-wise?
Loved all the product placement, too.
Yeah. They did all the... the other thing was, like, they didn't do any kind of exploration into the lore and where he came from. They didn't try to explain, like, origins for it. Nothing. It was just, all right, we're going to give you 5 minutes of establishing shots and bullshit and... boringness, and now a slightly scary moment. There was even a moment where the camera is upside down and it's looking at one of the characters who's upside down in her bed texting, and the camera slowly pans back and starts to spin around, and they have the creepy music, the strings going like you're waiting for something to be revealed, and it just reveals her sitting upside down on her bed and she rolls over.
That was it.
I sat there going, I put my hands up again. I'm like, what the fuck was that? Like, who made this? Like, how bad was this script originally? That this was the best you could make. Like, Jesus.
Like, I want to know who sat there, watched this whole movie, and then said, yeah, let's put this in theaters.
Yeah. To sum everything up, the easiest thing I can tell you is I would rather watch Ghostbusters. And I'm not talking about the good ones.
That's rough.
Yeah, I would easily watch the shitty Ghostbusters remake over this. Go see Meg.
Had I known how shitty this movie was going to be, I'd have said we should have just gone see the Meg again.
Yeah.
And here's my thing with this movie. Had it been released like on Netflix or Hulu as an original movie, I probably would have had a better opinion of it. Because I'm not paying to go see it at that... Well, I mean, I am, but it's like a monthly fee.
Yeah.
But had they just thrown it in on a service that I'm already paying for, I probably would have sat down and watched it and be like, ah, that sucked, but whatever.
But listeners, when it comes out on video, I am definitely... Excuse me. When it comes out on video, I'm definitely going to rent it. Miles, you're going to have to come out, and we're all riffing the shit out of this film. Because it could easily be done, and I'm looking forward to some of the shit that comes out of Loach's mouth.
Yeah.
Because, dude, no joke, the entire time, I wish you were sitting next to me. Because I was like, oh my god. Like, the lady who is next to us, I could tell she was getting pissed off with me because of the shit that I was saying. And you could barely hear me.
Dude, she was so mad.
She got up and moved over a seat. I was like, yes. Like, I am accomplishing my goal. I was waiting for her to, like, actually get up and move down another row. This movie is fucking garbage.
Yeah, and the best part was as soon as the movie ends, Vargo turns and looks at me and said, "That sucked," and then she got up and left. That is the fastest I've ever seen anybody move, leave a
movie. She was not happy to hear my opinion.
And I mean, it's not like we were sitting there making jokes the whole time. You know, like...
Touché.
Understand.
You know, the talking that we were doing was that, like... You know, I... Obviously,
well, yeah,
we were talking in the middle of a movie.
We were in Meg. We had our own area. Yes.
There was four people in the theater.
There was almost nobody in the theater. It's crazy.
No, there was people sitting next to
me. No. We're talking about Slenderman.
For Slenderman, there was
only literally four
people.
I didn't even realize it came out. I was just like, whatever.
But, I mean, it's like, yeah, we were talking during a movie, but we were still, like, at a respectful level, and it wasn't, like, whole conversations, but that lady was so mad.
She was so pissed. Well, don't have a movie be so bad. Just come on, man.
It's stupid.
If you don't want me to make jokes, make a better movie.
Yeah, fucking Truth or Dare was a better movie.
Yeah, it was.
Wish Upon, that was
fucking funny.
Wish Upon was a better movie. I mean, at least it was entertaining. It was just bad. Like the entire time, there were so many jokes going through my head. I wanted to yell out in the middle of the theater. I was just like, this is so fucking awful.
Finding it hard to control yourself, like me at Twin Peaks yesterday.
Yes, exactly.
I'm having a hard time not being an asshole.
Listeners, thank you for listening to us. We really do appreciate it. Stop following us on Facebook. Go on Twitter. Close your account. Stop following us on Twitter.
just give up. We have.
Delete your Podbean account. Wipe your hard drives.
If you can't wipe your hard drive,
microwave it.
Disavow any knowledge of us whatsoever. Subscribe to us on Podbean if you don't like iTunes. If you do like iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes. This is Vargo.
This is Josiah.
Miles.
This is Lush. Keep on geeking on.
And we're out. In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, you go down or return at 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good and live by. When I grab people, when I daddy, when I mean, we love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing in the sea. We're always happy, life's for living, yeah, that's our philosophy. Sing along with us, dee 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 dee, da 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 da, yeah, we're happy, happy. Da da da, dee da da dee da 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 da. Summertime, and we'll sing again. We go driving, or maybe we'll settle down. If she's rich, if she's nice, bring your friends, and we'll all go into town.
but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing in the sea. We're always happy, life's for living, yeah, that's our philosophy.